Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to add a special word to encourage you guys to sign up for that marriage conference. It's going to be amazing. My wife Trace and I have done that conference a few years ago, and it's just really awesome. So I just want to encourage you to, you've only got 10 days left for that early bird registration, so we really want to encourage you to go in that direction. So as you can see on the screen, the words generations is up there, and just to let you know, we are beginning a brand new sermon series today looking at generations. Maybe you're wondering, well, Pastor Tom, what do you mean by generations? And so let's just get into it and talk about it a little bit. A generation is defined in this way. The average span of time between the birth of parents and that of their offspring. It's a new generation. Now, often a new generation begins with a wedding, and, you know, it's kind of wedding season out there. How many guys this spring or summer are planning on attending a wedding? How many out there are, got wedding plans out there? Well, hopefully the wedding that you go to will be much better than some of the mishaps that sometimes happen at a wedding. For example, when your caterer bites the cake, it's probably a bad sign when they're carrying the cake out. Now, here's my favorite part of the wedding. The best man's going to come and give that ring, and it's a special moment of, whoops. They probably thought the pool behind was a great idea. We'll have it right in front of the pool. It's going to be beautiful. Right? So hopefully for you, there's none of these issues that you might have at any weddings you attend this summer or look at or whatever. But here's the idea. Generations. The average span of time between the birth of parents and that of their offspring. And this year, 2016 at Spring Hills, we've entitled The Year of the Family, and we're studying families. We're doing marriage conferences, and in November, a parenting conference, and all kinds of great things for families, and looking at these things. And just want to remind you that the vision of our church is building generations for Jesus Christ, and we're looking at generations and families and how to make them stronger. And we're going to begin this series by asking this question. What effect does one generation have upon the next? How many of you here feel that your parents, the generation above you, affected your life in some major way? Who believes that? Okay, how about number two? How many of you believe that you have, if you have children, that you have definite impact on your children and what they do with their life, and you affect them in that way? So we're looking at generations and studying this and looking at it. Pastor Jeff and I have been working on this together, and we came across this verse in Exodus chapter 20 that shows something about generations and how they affect each other. I want to show it to you. It's very powerful what it says. Exodus chapter 20, by the way, is God's giving the Ten Commandments, and he's giving out the Ten Commandments. And in verse 5, he pauses to make this statement. He says this, "You must not bow down to them or worship them," talking about idolatry, "for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate your affection for any gods." And then the shifting goes to generations and how generations are affected by these things. And here's what it says. God says, "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children." The entire family is affected. "Even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and who obey my commands." And I want you to see right away, number one, the sins of the parents, mistakes of the parents, sins of the parents, issues of the parents affect their children for several generations. How many of you guys believe that? Just raise your hand. That parents and how we parent affect that next generation. But we also see this. There's a power of blessing. God says, "I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations." And here's what I want you to see. Parents who are out there, grandparents who are out there, children who are hearing me that will one day have their own children, as a parent, you have incredible impact. Your sins and mistakes affect the next generation, but you also have the power to bless in an exceptionally strong way the next generation of what's happening. So here's two truths about generations right off the get-go I want you to see in this series and what we're looking at. Here's truth number one. This is, I believe, absolutely true. The choices of previous generations in your family will affect you. You can write that down. It's just true. The choices of previous generations, my parents' choices, my grandparents' choices, they affect my life in a very big way. Here, let me just illustrate this. I'll show you a picture. There's my parents right there. There I am. What a cute little head I have, don't I? What a cute little head. Now, there's my parents right there, and you know what? They made choices. And the choices my parents made affected my life in a very big way. That's my mom right there. That's right. There she is. That picture was taken, don't be shocked, 1973 when that picture was taken. We had cameras in 73, whether you believe it or not. We actually did. And my parents made choices, and those choices generationally affected my life. Here's one choice that my mother made. My mother has told me many times, she would walk in my bedroom, I'm there in my crib, probably cooing Bible verses or something, you know, as a child. Okay, probably not. But she walked in, and she said she'd walk in, and she would pray over me every single night. My mom tells a story, and when she tells a story, she tells it with tears. She says that right about the time this picture was taken, my mom and I were driving in the wintertime in January, and we were driving, and it was a snowstorm, kind of out of the blue. Big snowstorm came up, and she looked down in the middle of the snowstorm, and she didn't have enough gas to get to the next gas station, and she just imagined what would happen. Here I am with my little baby and myself, and we're in this car. I'm going to run out of gas, and we are going to be stuck beside the side of the road with no heat and no gas, and this is going to be terrible. And so she's about to run out of gas, her car is sputtering, and the car, she goes off the side of the road, and my mom says a prayer, and she says this prayer. God, I don't care what happens to my life, but I pray if you spare my child, if you spare my baby, I will dedicate him to service for you all the days of his life. Now, she tells that story, but she would have dedicated me no matter what happened. Let's not kid ourselves, right? That's what she would have done anyway, but she prays that prayer. And she says, after she finished praying that prayer, a tow truck pulled up right behind her car, and a guy came up and said, do you need some gas, ma'am? I've got some extra gas. Can I help you? What a cool story. That blessing of her prayers affected my life. But certainly, there were mistakes that my parents made. Believe me, there were mistakes that my parents made. No doubt about it. You know, I endured when I went into ninth grade at Granville High School, I had moved 12 times, 5 states, 2 countries. That's a lot of moving for a young life to experience. And my parents affected my life just like your parents affected your life. Their choices affected my life. Both blessing and sins or mistakes they made affected my life. And here's the second truth about generations I want you to see. Your choices will affect the generation that comes after you. And I'm not saying this is deterministic, you can't overcome it. Of course you can overcome the pattern of sin. And of course you can even reject the blessing your parents want to give you. But your choices as parents and grandparents definitely affect the generation that come after you. I just want you to see and understand this. Here's our major idea for this sermon series we're going to be looking at. And oh, by the way, there's my family, and my choices certainly affect my children in a very big way as well. Here's the major idea for this sermon series, and see if you can lean into this and understand this, and here's where we're going in this sermon series. Here's the idea. With God's assistance, we need to end generational patterns of sin and intentionally bless the generation that comes after us. If you're just, let me read that again, and if you like that idea, just say amen. Here it is. With God's assistance, we need to end the generational pattern of sin and intentionally bless the generation that comes after us. Amen? Amen. Now, we could also say intentionally bless the generation that came before us, right? That'd be a good way of going too. But we want to understand these ideas. Now, you're probably wondering, Pastor Tom, how are we going to study these generations? What are we going to do? And I want to tell you, in the Bible, there are 4 generations that we see in detail. The generation of Abraham and his wife Sarah, Isaac and his wife Rebecca, Jacob and a whole bunch of different wives that were involved with Jacob, and then Jacob's son Joseph as well. And we see 4 generations. That was a little Jacob joke there. You guys didn't probably get that. Anyway, so Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph we see going down, and we're going to take the next 8 weeks after today and study these generations. We're going to see what patterns do we see developing between Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and how do we see the power of sin? And how can we expose that it can benefit our lives to overcome the pattern of sin, the generational patterns? Also, we want to see what's the blessing that comes in these generations that we can also bless our children and bless the generation above us as well. That's what we're looking at. This is a family series, but so much deeper than a family series to understand this generational issues that happen in our lives. Let's begin by talking about blessing, because I said we want to intentionally bless the generation that comes after us. By the way, raise your hand. Are you with me on this idea of intentionally blessing? You with me on that idea? Intentionally blessing children and all those who come behind us. Now, let's talk about this word. The Bible talks about blessing in the Old Testament, and often you see it as a one-time event. A father is dying, perhaps, and he's older, and he's slipping into the next world, and so he calls a child before him, and he puts a hand on their head, perhaps a bit shaky, and he speaks over them a blessing. We see that again and again. The word for blessing that we see in the Old Testament is this word, barak. Why don't you guys say barak? It means to bless, and here's what it means. It means to assist, When you say, I'm going to bless my children, I'm going to assist my children. To bless means to approve of. It means I'm going to show you that I love you and I have approval of your life. It means to praise. To bless someone is to point out the great things about them. But most interestingly, this word Barak also means to kneel before. I'm giving you assistance. I'm praising you. I'm approving of you. But I'm somehow kneeling before you and giving to you authority in your life in a very special way. We'll get into that as the weeks go by and we look at these things. Well, let's just jump for one second. Today is our introductory day, but let's jump for one second into Abraham's life, and I want to show you something in Abraham's life about blessing. Why don't you guys say Abraham one time? Abraham. Let's just look at Abraham's life and look at these things. Here's what we're seeing. Now, Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, he's not even named Abraham yet, he's called Abram. The first time we've really seen him appear is in chapter 12, and God just speaks to Abraham out of the blue, and God says to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. God sends Abraham to land that God's going to give him. And then verse 2, God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. Now look at the second part there. And I will bless you. I want you to see that we bless our children, that blessing first came from God. God first blessed us, and then we have the ability to bless others because God originates the blessing. I want you to see that. Look what he says. I will bless you. I will make your name great, Abram, and you will be a blessing. Do you see that right there? The double-sided nature of that? First, God says, I will bless you, and the other side is you will also be a blessing. You're being blessed, and you're becoming a blessing to the next generation that's coming after you. Look at verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Now, when I was in college many years ago, it was the spring, and I used to go jogging. And I would go jogging around my college. I was about a 7-mile track. I would go jogging, and I would jog around, and about the same place every day I went jogging, a little dog would come out, a little yippy, dangerous-looking dog would come out and bark at me, but it's always, always on a chain. And he'd run out to bark at me, and he'd, you know, bark really hard like, man, if I ever off this chain, I'm taking you down, jogger. That was kind of the relationship that we had. Well, one day I remember turning the corner jogging, and I turned the corner, I looked at that dog, and he started barking, and he was not on the chain. I thought, oh, man, I'm going to run fast. This is going to be a big deal. And the dog began barking, and the look in his eye was like, oh, I got you now, buddy. I got you now. You shouldn't have worn those little jogging shorts today, man. This is going to be trouble for you. And the little dog comes running after me. And he runs out in the street, and right when he hits the street, I begin running faster, and his front paws hit the street, and a UPS truck turns the corner, and bam! He was not in any way injured. He just yipped away. And I thought, God's going to bless those who bless me and curse those who curse me, little dog. Just keep that in mind, you know, little one. The next day, I ran past the dog, and he just whimpered like, you know, I'm not going to bark at you today, buddy. I get it, right? That's what God's saying. God's saying to Abraham, I'm going to back you up. I'm going to bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I'm going to curse them. And then look at this last line. It's so important that you see this. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. What a big idea. All people on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. And Abraham obeys and he goes where God's sending him. I'm going to show you something generational for Abraham's son, Isaac. We're just going to look at it real briefly. Genesis 26, it says, that night, this is verse 4, this is about 100 years later. That night, the Lord appeared to Isaac, Abraham's son, and he said, I'm the God of your father Abraham, and God blesses Isaac. Then we're going to jump down a few more chapters, 45 years later. Genesis 28, God speaks to Jacob. Look what he says to Jacob. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and you guys say it, the God of? Later, God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the patriarchs. And God appears to each of them and says to them basically the same thing. God says this, you will be a great nation. I'm going to bless you, every one of you. You're going to be a great nation. And number 2, I will bless you, God says. And then number 3, this is big that you get this. All people on earth will be blessed through you. God says to this generation and the next generation and the next generation, I'm going to bless you. You'll be a great nation. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So let's just ask this question. This is week one. We're doing introductory stuff. Let's just ask this question. How does God bless the entire earth through Abraham? I came across this verse when I was in Africa 2 weeks ago having a quiet time. I was reading Romans 15 and I came across this verse. Look what it says. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to the patriarchs. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also Joseph too. The promises he made to the patriarchs. And moreover, that Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So here's what he's saying. Jesus came to the Jews because the promise God made to Abraham, he fulfilled it, that all people could be blessed because Jesus came through that line of Abraham. That's why God sent his son and we saw him born in a manger. That's why God sent his son and he collected disciples to teach and to train. That's why God sent his son and he did miracles and did amazing things. That's why God sent his son and he died on the cross for our sins. And that's why God's son rose again from the grave. Amen? That God would say, the promise I made to Abraham has come true through Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 9. And moreover, that the Gentiles, hey, who here's a Gentile? Oh, it's all of us. We're pretty much all Gentiles. That the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy because salvation has come. Now here, I want you to look at this one more time. God told Abraham, all people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. God told Abraham, he told Isaac, he told Jacob, and then through Christ, God is fulfilling that promise of blessing all people on the earth. You know, last week, 2 weeks ago, actually, I was in church in Africa. I showed this video last week. Here's the church I was in. It doesn't look especially fancy. It's not a nice place. There's no power. There's no water. But let me tell you, people in that church, Christian people, they're blessed because through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all down the line, God sent his son to live and to die that we could know him. Let me show you inside this African church, and you might get a little bit jealous of their worship as I take you there, and just see how blessed they are to know Jesus Christ. Here's a quick glimpse of church in Africa. That's our bread right there. Every church I've been to in Africa, they do the same song, this song. And they say, higher. And everybody puts their hands higher and higher. And then they say, Jesus, higher. And they say, lower, devil, lower. And the whole church, all old people, young people, kids, everybody, lower, lower, lower. And you know what? They're blessed. They're so blessed to know Jesus because of that relationship that came through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that promise was fulfilled. Now, I want you to see something really important about you, really important about your life. And here's what I want you to see. Here it is right here. There it is. Galatians 3:29 says something crazy about you. If you belong to Christ, do you raise your hand? If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, an heir according to his promise. Do you see that? Let me show you that. God desires, just like he told Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you're part of that same seed in Christ. And God desires to bless you that you might be a blessing to others. You are called by God, Genesis 12:3, to be a blessing to the nations. I want you to see that. Now, the nations are all across the world, but also it's your neighborhood. It's the neighbors next door. It's people in the same row as you at church. That's the nations. God's calling you to be a blessing. One of the ways that you would be a blessing is by sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you, in that trip to Africa we just took, we saw dramatically how God worked through just simply sharing the gospel and being a blessing. Calling people to know Christ. We went to a little community called Epworth, which was there. Epworth's a pretty poor community in that section of Africa where we were. We came in, our whole team, and it had been raining, and we couldn't get the van all the way back to the site. And so we did this thing. We didn't know it was going to be so effective. But about 20 white people from America got out of our van and began walking down the streets to go to the site. And the word got out to everyone, hey, they're going somewhere. And people came out from everywhere you can possibly imagine, and they began following us, and this crowd of over 100 people began following us down to this site that we were going to. We eventually got there, and I took this picture. There's the crowd that was following behind us, and they came down. A lot of them were children, so we set up some stations, and we had a station over here with the parachute. How many of you guys have done the parachute ever before? Pretty awesome stuff. And Pastor Gary was over there doing the parachute. By the way, just in case you're wondering, Pastor Gary and I have done ministry together on five continents. How awesome is that? Five continents. But anyway, Pastor Gary's over there working on the parachute, and they're having fun. And over here, they're doing a craft, and more people are coming, and more people are coming. And eventually, we say, wow, we got a big number. And Pastor Gary got up in front, and we quieted everybody down, and we said, we just want you to sit down. And we did a drama for them depicting the gospel. There's that drama happening right there. And we depicted the gospel. And then I got up and just shared the gospel. Just very simply presented Jesus Christ and who he was. And we had time to present the gospel. And I really enjoy it because I preach and then there's interpretation. Isn't that some awesome interpretation right there? There it is right there. And we were amazed that we shared the gospel in this way. One more interpretation. And hallelujah. There we go. So we were amazed that we shared the gospel in this way, and it was a massive response. People saying, yes, I want to know Christ. I want to pray that prayer. I want to know him. Well, in the middle of all that happening, we began to pray for some folks, and this family walked over and talked to my interpreter. Here he is right here. His name's Munyan. He's a pastor, 26-year-old pastor there. And a lady walked up, and she said to him, hey, where's your church in this area? He said, oh, man, we don't have a church in this area. And she said, well, if you want to, you can begin a church in my house. You want to begin a church in my house? And Munya came and got me, and he said, Pastor Tom, they want to have a church start in their house. And I said, well, let's go check it out. So Munya and I walked down with this lady and her sister, and we walked down to their house, and it was a pretty nice sized house. And we sat down, and I just said, hey, are you interested in having a church? They said, yeah, we don't know much about church, but we're interested in having a church right here. So I took out the Bible, this Bible, as a matter of fact, and I opened up to John 3:3 that says, before you can see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And I said, do you know what that means? And they said, we have no idea what it means to be born again. I said, well, let me explain it to you. And I read John 3:16, and I shared about Jesus again. And I said, do you want to pray right now? And they said, yeah, we do. And they bowed their heads, and we prayed, and they repeated after me, first in English and then in their language, and they repeated as well. And we had this time. And I said, how did you feel to accept Christ? And the first lady said, I just felt this freedom in my heart. Second lady said, I felt a peace just come over me, and it was pretty exciting. And we said, okay, we're going to have church right here this Sunday, which was Easter Sunday, last Sunday. And I can report to you with great excitement, they had 16 people show up to church on that very first day. There they are. Hey, how about a hand for that? What an awesome thing. You know what's happening right there? We're saying to God, we want to be a blessing. We want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and see it go out. And we want to be a blessing. That's such an important thing. We want to be a blessing. We want to have this idea that first of all, that God desires to bless you, that you might bless others. Number one, by sharing the gospel. Now we're going to come back to our topic. Number two, by living for Christ in such a way that you are a blessing. I put Colossians 3 up there. You can read that later if you want to. But here's the big idea we're going to land on for today. You're called to be a blessing. This applies to everyone you meet, but especially the people in your family. Just think about that for a second. You're called to be a blessing to your parents. You're called to be a blessing to your children, to your aunts and uncles and cousins and all those around you. You're called by God. Just like God said to Abraham, you'll be blessed and you'll be a blessing. You're called to be a blessing in that way. I've been looking at this book. It's called The Blessing. It's about this exact idea. John Trent, Gary Smalley, there they are right there. And they wrote this book called The Blessing. Here's what they say about this idea. For sons and daughters in biblical times, receiving their father's blessing was a momentous event. At that specific point in their lives, they would hear words of encouragement, love, and acceptance from their parents. Some elements of the Old Testament blessing were unique to that time. However, the core need for being blessed is as relevant today as it has been in every generation. Now look at the last part. Parents today should seek to build elements of blessing into their children's lives daily. And let me just stop right there. How many in this room, just raise your hand. You in this room, you are a grandparent right now. Just raise your hand. Let me say to you, grandparents that are out there, you are called by God to build elements of blessing into your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives. Who here in this room, raise your hand. You're a parent. Just raise your hand. Hey, if you're a parent, you're called by God. You're called by God to build elements of blessing into your child's life that's going to bless them and enrich them as they grow, and they're going to have that pattern of blessing within their lives. Who here in this room, you'd say the best way to characterize me is I'm a child. Just raise your hand. I'm living with my parents, or I'm at home, or whatever. Listen, children, you're also called to bless your parents, to bless those that are above you. We're called to bless each other in a family. Maybe you're here and you say, Tom, I don't really have any family around. My parents live far away. I'm not married. I'm single. Whatever it might be. You know what? You're called to bless those who are around you. the book, The Blessing, talks about elements of blessing. Let me just give you a few of these so you can begin blessing your children. Here's number one. You want to bless someone? Spend time together. You want to give that blessing to your children, grandchildren? Find time. Find time to spend with them. Just spending time conveys a blessing. Or number two, pray together. No matter what's happening, find time to pray together. That conveys a blessing from God to your children. How about number three? Communicate the great value of the person you're blessing. Just tell them how important they are, the great value that they have. Communicate how important they are and the great value in their life. How about number four? Speak the truth in love. Now, here's the idea. A blessing doesn't always have to be flowery and just good things. You can also gently and respectfully, in love, correct someone when you give a blessing. If you look, by the way, in Genesis 49, you see Jacob blesses all of his sons. He gives a blessing, and to some of them he says great things, and to one of them, his son Dan, he says this: "You are a serpent beside the road, and you bite everything that comes by." What a nice blessing, really, to give to your child right there, right? But at the same time, we don't want to tell our children, "You're a serpent who strikes your sisters." We don't want to say that, but we want to speak the truth. It's okay in a blessing to give the truth, some correction as you're blessing them in that way. And then last of all, this is from the book, speak words of blessing. Speak words of blessing over your children. Here's a classic blessing that we see from Scripture, number 6, 24 and 25. When I stop, you guys jump in. The Lord
bless you
and
keep you.
The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you
peace.
That's a word of blessing that you speak right there out of the Bible. How many of you, just raise your hand, you're interested in increasing the blessing you're giving to your children? Just raise your hand. You're interested in that. Let me tell you, they're dying, they're starving to have that blessing from you as a parent or a grandparent, to spend time with you, to pray with you, to communicate, hear that from you, how important they are with their life, to speak the truth and love over them and to speak those words of blessing. Let me say one last thing about this before I move on to my last point, and here's the idea. We're talking about families and we're talking about blessing our children, but you know what? You may have, and I certainly have, children that are not my natural children. There are lots of young people who say to me, "You know, Tom, I'm one of your other daughters," or I'm the son that you never had. I have other relationships like that. And even though they're not my natural children, I still want to bless them in any way I can, whenever I can. Maybe you have some relationships like that as well. Let's go to our last topic for today. Here's the big idea in this sermon series. With God's assistance, we need to end generational patterns of sin and intentionally bless the generation that comes after us. So what's this idea? How do I overcome generational patterns of sin? Pastor Tom, what is a generational pattern of sin? Let me just explain it to you and we're going to go on. A generational pattern of sin is something that happened perhaps to your grandparents or great-grandparents and they got involved in something. And because of their influence or learning in the home or demonic influence or genetics or whatever it might be, that pattern passed on to your grandparents and it passed down to your parents. And you find yourself struggling with that same sin that you see throughout the generations that were above you. Remember that scripture said? The sins of to two or three generations, they affect the next generation and the next generation. And you want to overcome those patterns, not succumb to those patterns. I've got a very good friend of mine I was talking to yesterday, and I was getting ready for the sermon, and I said to my friend, "Hey, what do you think about generational patterns of sin?" My friend said, "Oh, I believe in it. I believe in it 100%. He said, "I'll tell you the generational pattern of sin in my family, with my grandfather and my father, and right down to me." And this is a direct quote of what he said. Here's what he said. "It begins with angry and hostile words that lead to rage and physical expression." He said, "My grandfather would actually get so angry with his words that he would abuse my father. My father was never abusive, but he would get angry and he would say hostile words and he would throw things in our house." Now, my friend said, "You know what? I began to realize when I got mad, I had desires to do things that were not of God and that were wrong, and I had to overcome it." And he said, "I began to say a phrase in my mind when I would get angry, and the phrase was, 'Break the chain.' I've got to break the chain of generational sin in my life." So how do you overcome it? How do you begin to face these generational patterns of sin? Here's just three thoughts. Number one, understand God's will and God's power. Here's God's will for you. Galatians 5:1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You do not need to live under these generational patterns. God desires to break them in your life." Amen? Number one, understand God's will and God's power. Here's number two. Identify these generational patterns of sin that might be there. We're going to see in Genesis a pattern of lies and deception. Maybe that affects your family as well. There's lies and deception. Or we're going to look at addiction issues and how they pass from one generation down to the next generation. I'm just going to ask you to think about today, just praying and saying, God, identify these patterns of sin in my life so I can see them and overcome them in my life. And the last one, anger issues might be there. Three, two. Here's number three, last one. Reach out and ask for others to pray with you or for you to overcome this pattern. Let me give you one last scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is spirit, and when the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And as you join with others and you pray about these generational issues and patterns, the Holy Spirit is going to fill you in a way that creates freedom from these patterns in your life. How many of you guys believe here? Just raise your hand and just be honest about this. You would say, yes, you agree. You can see in your own life some generational patterns of sin that attempt to affect you. Just raise your hand. Do you see that? Do you get those things? It's time to overcome them in your life. Don't pass them on to your children and the next generation. Let's just bow our heads and let's pray. We're closing out our time. And as we're closing our time, I just want to challenge you in this way. Ask God right now, as your head's bowed and your eyes closed, right in this room, in the quietness right here, just ask God right now, who, God, this week, do you desire that I spend time blessing this week? Who am I going to spend time with? Who am I going to pray with? Who am I going to communicate their great value and speak the truth in love and speak words of blessing? Just ask God right now just to show you who's that person this week that God desires for you to reach out and bless. Might be one of your children. Might be your spouse, a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Might be one of your parents. Might be a roommate or a coworker. Ask God right now, God, who do you desire that I would bless with my life? And then number two, in the quietness of this room, just ask God this. God, could you reveal to me any pattern of sin in my life that I need to identify and bring to the light of day? Just ask God that. God, show me any pattern of sin in my life, a generational pattern or a pattern I came up with all on my own. Reveal this to me, God. Reveal any pattern of sin, any way in me that's not right with you. Show it to me, God. Just ask him that right now in the quietness of this room. Father, we thank you. We praise you for today. We thank you, God, for taking communion. We thank you, God, for opening this difficult topic of generational patterns of sin and blessing, God. We want to pass on from generation to generation. Father, we thank you for this day. Hey, just keep your heads bowed for one last second. I'm just curious. How many of you feel like God has spoken to you someone to intentionally bless this week? Just raise your hand. You feel like God spoke to you in that way? Thank you, guys. How many guys would say, God did reveal to me a pattern of sin in my life? Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Wow, thank you for those hands. God, we praise you and thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, the praise team is going to come in just a moment. And we're going to stand and we're just going to worship God as we end our time today. Hey, thanks, guys, for getting to that difficult topic today. I appreciate it. We'll talk more about Abraham next week. Thank you.
as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Amen. That is so encouraging. That is the gospel. Forgiveness has been bought with a price. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Christ. So I hope you know that today. I hope you heard that. I hope you know that those challenging generational sin patterns, which all of us have, every one of us, none of us are exempt from that, those things can be overcome. You heard a pretty good challenge today from the Lord. Identify generational sin patterns in your homes. That's tough. Some of you come here each week and you might even feel guilty for those things, but we don't want you to do that. We want you to identify them and then overcome them. And then the second challenge was find out who you're going to bless. Who are you supposed to bless? Your life, your choices, your behaviors, your actions. Who will be blessed? And how will that impact the next generation? I know for me, my heart was encouraged by that message. So I want to pray with you this morning. My name is Pastor Coley. If you're first time here, welcome. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope you felt God's presence here. Couple things. If this message stirred your heart in such a way and you think, and I've been there where I don't know how to identify, or I may have identified, but I don't know how to overcome those sin patterns that he was talking about. Go back to the prayer room. Ask people to pray with you. You don't have to give details. You don't have to share the ins and the outs of it. They will just simply pray, and you might just be amazed at what God would do. So see the people in our prayer room. Or if you think, man, a church body, a community of faith could help me and my family overcome some of those things, then come back and see me or see any of the other pastors and ask about how you can get involved in this church and how you can get involved in the ministries and how you can get involved in discipleship and growing. One of the ways you can grow is by attending some of those classes on Sunday nights. Those are intended to help you overcome and grow. So let me just pray with you. I thank you for being here this morning. We really are going to pray for you this week. We want you to go into this week trying to identify those things and then seek out who you're going to bless. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, watch over them. Lord, this is so critical. It is critical that we deal with, that we confront sin patterns in our lives, in our families, those things that happen behind closed doors. We must confront those and bring them to the cross and come to you with those and then ask you to help us overcome them so that we can bless the next generation. We want to be a body of believers. We want to be a church community that is blessing the next generation. But that means we have some work to do in this generation, right now, in our own lives. So would you just help us, Lord? Give my brothers and my sisters eyes and ears to see how you're speaking, to see how you're working in their lives. Lord, watch over them. Give them insights this week through your Holy Spirit. And may they just continue to come to the truth of the cross, that there's freedom, there's forgiveness, your arms are open wide. Oh, my goodness, Lord. That you, the perfect God, would have arms open wide for such imperfect people. We need to hear that again today. Lord, thank you for being at work this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Guys, let me bring one more thing to your attention. At the back of the sanctuary, there's our worship center. There's some classes. There's registration for shoe classes. One I want to highlight to you is a study on hymns. It's going to be a class teaching through some hymns and just looking at the rich heritage in hymns and singing some hymns and things like that. So check that out. You can even show up tonight at 6 o'clock for that. So have a great week. Thank you.